Country Club FM.
So, world according to Garth at the Vidina Entertainment Center Saturday night, right, Neil?
Yes. Saturday night, 7 for the Doors, 8 o'clock for the Shane Martin Band, and then the World According to Garth shortly thereafter.
All right, listen for a quiz question at the end of the Almanac, and you could win that prize. We have a Bob Almanac salute here today, and this one is for all the soap opera fans, and especially General Hospital, because the woman who played Monica Quatermain from 1977 until 2023, Neil. That's a long run.
My.
Yes, she was Monica on General Hospital. Her name is Leslie Ann Charlson. She has passed away here today or over the weekend.
Yeah, you and I shared a lot of things together, a lot of feelings. But that's over. And you and Leslie have gotten back together, and that's the way it should be. Exactly, and I mean that, Rick.
I really believe you.
Thank you. Dear friend, good luck to you.
Good luck. They said they shared a lot of emotions. You know, one thing they didn't share, medical instruments and needles. You don't share those things.
No, you don't.
At least you have to sterilize them. So, yeah, she was Leslie Charlson, Leslie Ann Charlson, Monica Quatermain at General Hospital. You know, if your only knowledge of the medical industry and hospitals would be watching General Hospital or now currently Grey's Anatomy, you would think that you would go, how does anybody, you know, the doctors, nurse, whoever, how do they have any time to actually administer health care, actually help the patients when they're all having relations, right?
Yes. There's many other things that they're doing. So, yeah, lots of people involved.
So, Leslie Ann Charlson, Monica from General Hospital, she passed away at the age of 79 over the weekend.
Now gone.
She had experienced several falls, which caused problems with her mobility. She had been hospitalized from one of the falls the week before her death. Age 79. Now gone.
Gone.
But not forgotten.
Not forgotten.
Midway mark of January. January 15th. 15th day of the year, 1797.
Have you seen the well-to-do up and down Park Avenue on that famous thoroughfare with their noses in the air? High hats and arrow collars, white spats and lots of dollars, spending every dime for a wonderful
time. So there's our
time.
Friend Taco singing Putting on the Ritz. One of the key components to putting on the Ritz, Neil, is the top hat.
Yes.
Right? Or as he says in the song, a hi-hat, which is the same thing.
Hi-hat, same thing.
The first ever top hat, according to reports and records, worn on this date in London by John Etherington. John Etherington, hello, governor. And he would tip
it
his cap.
Sounds like a guy who would wear a top hat.
Now, top hats were not originally welcomed and well-received. According to the reports of the day, people called those top hats, they called them terrifying. I don't know if it made people, men look taller.
I suppose.
Or what was it? They thought they were hiding something. Maybe there was a rabbit in the hat. Who knows? And you know, you didn't, until you got the top hat, there that joke, that magic act couldn't exist.
No.
So finally you could have the rabbit out of the hat.
Yeah.
After this date, 1997, the old top hat. I don't think I've ever worn a top hat, whether being funny or not. Maybe a plastic one like for Halloween. We probably had one.
Yeah, I don't remember ever wearing one either.
No. They've kind of fallen out of favor, but you have a certain amount of chutzpah and machismo if you are out wearing a top hat, I think.
Yeah,
I would say so. I think in this day and age, I think it's a bold move.
It is
I
a
really
bold
think, you know,
fashion statement.
Abe Lincoln.
Right. They called that the stovepipe.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But I think that was still a top hat, was it not?
Yeah, that's what I envisioned as a top hat.
1870, this date, the donkey was first used to symbolize the Democratic Party. The donkey appeared in a cartoon by Tom Nast, Harper Weekly. I think they should adjust, instead of the elephant and the donkey, I think they should use, Harry and Lloyd, Dumb and Dumber. And then the dumber one is the party that's in power. So right. Whatever party's in power is the dumber. One's dumb, one's right. dumber, and it's the one in power that's the dumber one. How about what's going on at the Capitol?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
In the Minnesota House.
I'm just so done with our political system that they can never get together on anything.
The funny thing is the Republicans are just doing what the Democrats did before. They're just finding a different way of doing it.
Yeah.
You know, having control in the trifecta and then just doing whatever you want. They want some of that, too, because, you know, we went through that whole session before of it going one way. They want it now their way. So you really can't blame them, to be honest.
But, no, it's just, so the DFL, they're not there.
No.
And the Republicans are just kind of, okay, well, we're just going to do what we do.
They got sworn in like at a library or something. Was it the History Center or something?
Who knows?
It's pretty insane. Let's go to 1937. This is local. The statues of Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox were unveiled in Bemidji. Always love whenever I go to Bemidji to just take a little trip over there away from the hockey arena there on the south side of the lake and head toward town and drive past the old Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox. The first Paul Bunyan that I experienced, though, was the one in Brainerd.
Yep,
that was
too.
At that park that was more towards Baxter. And now they took that, and it's now east of town.
Yes, it
not
is.
Not far from the Green Lantern, right?
Correct. Yes. Yep.
That was the big talking Paul one. He was sitting there, and he would talk. Me. He would go, "Hell, your parents."
And he
would,
knew our name.
Yes, your parents would tell them your names, and you'd be sitting there, and they go, "Hello, Jimmy. Hello."
Yeah.
Is they my wanted, yeah, is my fly yeah. down? Don't look there.
He was intimidating.
He was. His mouth, his whole jaw moved. And,
right.
And what I also liked about that one, anybody who's been there, they had a really cool, for a young kid, maybe as a grown-up it wasn't much, but it was for young kids, a haunted house, which was really cool. They had a haunted house, which was just to the right of where Paul Bunyan was sitting.
Yep.
I love that haunted house. You'd go through it, and then you'd come out, and you'd be in, like, jail, and then they had bendable bars that were kind of rubbery, and you could bend them
and
get
out.
Yourself out. That was really cool. Good. So that was the state in Bemidji.
Good memories.
1937. 67.
On January 15th, 1967, on a bright, clear day in the Los Angeles Coliseum, the big question which had troubled the football world for 7 years was answered. For the first time, the Green Bay Packers, champions of the National Football League, played the Kansas City Chiefs, the best team in the American Football League.
The Green Bay Packers in the frozen tundra, but they were in the L.A. Coliseum, Super Bowl I. And, of course, we've said this before.
Packers.
We've said this before that it wasn't called the Super Bowl officially until maybe after Super Bowl I at least. And some people may have referenced it as the Super Bowl. It might be in some literature from the day, a mail piece, if you will.
Right.
But it wasn't officially known as the Super Bowl.
Like a trademark thing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And they have trademarked, and they're very protective of it. You can't use
Super
Bowl. If you're doing any kind of advertising or anything for anything, you got to say big game. We can say
game.
Super Bowl because we're just promoting and talking about it. But if any kind of advertising, you're going, hey, come on down and, you know, celebrate the Super Bowl at our place, da-da-da. You can't say that.
Right.
You gotta say, the big game.
Watch the big game.
The big
here.
Game.
Yeah.
So, and the Packers defeated the Chiefs. A hungover Max McGee came in and caught a few touchdown passes from Bart Starr, who was the MVP. 35-10 It was a rout, and if that's the way it should have been too for the first one,
right?
Certainly, the first two were won by the Packers before the Jets then got us, as far as the NFC, us being the NFC in Super Bowl III. Danny Thomas, watching that old NFL films, Danny Thomas, Kirk Douglas, Chuck Connors, at least three of the L.A. elite that were there.
Sweet.
How about that?
That's good.
That's kind of special. Yeah, so that was in 67.
Sunday, Monday, happy days.
74, we had a new TV show.
TV theme time.
Yeah, happy days. And
one of the best.
This is the season 3 intro that they used throughout. You know, the first two seasons, they used Rock Around the Clock by Bill Haley and the Comets. Remember that?
Yes.
And then Pratt and Whitney or whatever their names were, they did this and actually released that out on the radio.
Yes,
but Happy Days premiered. Of course, early days, Fonzie could only wear his leather jacket when he was on or near his bike. Remember that?
Yep.
There was Chuck. The older brother.
Older brother, he disappeared.
He went upstairs with his basketball. I think one episode the basketball bounced down the stairs, but he didn't come with it for whatever reason. So we're still one. He's still in the witness. Maybe he was in the witness. He saw Fonzie do something, and he was placed in the witness protection program.
Right.
And then that the first two seasons were also, if you watch the reruns, they weren't in studio. They were single-camera film. If you ever watch the older ones, it's got a different look because it's not before a lot. They used a voice track, or a voice track, a laugh track.
Laugh track.
And they did the film, and then by season three, they went with the live studio audience. Probably a good idea there.
Yeah, I think so.
In 74. We had a debut in 77.
I am Beldar. This is Primat. We are emissaries from the planet Remulek, which is located many light years outside of this solar system. 20 Earth years ago, the five High Masters of Remulek dispatched a fleet of star cruisers to this solar system.
So the Coneheads debuted on SNL this day, one of their best bits of all time. That's Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Dan Aykroyd. Lorraine Newman.
It was so good.
Jane Curtin, Coneheads. This was the same episode that Bill Murray made his debut on SNL as a regular.
Oh,
not
okay.
Ready for a primetime player in 77. 87.
Laugh in my face. Oh, I'm a failure because I haven't got a brain.
Well, what would you do with a brain if you had one?
Do? Why, if I had a brain, I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain.
Yeah, we're remembering Ray Bolger as the Scarecrow. He's a singer, dancer, actor, nimble body. You need to have a nimble body.
Yes. He just had his birthday last Friday when Allie and I were and I played the same clip.
Nice.
And I do know every word to the whole song. So,
well, as
he was always my favorite.
He was
character.
The favorite, exactly. Yeah. Ray Bolger died at the age of 83 back in 87. 1992.
His music, his artistry, his point of view helped form and define what we know as rock and roll. This is the biggest deal of my life. It's a great honor for me to present to you and to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Johnny Cash.
That's an emotional Lyle Lovett there. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame here this day. One of five Hall of Fames, or we should say Halls of Fame, that he is in.
Only five?
Rock and Roll, wow. Nashville Songwriters, Rockabilly Hall of Fame, the Hit Parade Hall of Fame, the Memphis Music Hall of Fame, Johnny Cash. I thought he was I thought he was in the Gospel Music Hall of Fame, too. I know that Elvis certainly is. But maybe not. This list is either incomplete or it is accurate. Okay. And we could do some fact-checking on that. So Johnny Cash inducted along with the Jimi Hendrix Experience, Booker T and the MGs, Bobby Bland, the Yardbirds, Sam and Dave. We just lost Sam Moore and Dave Prater.
Yes,
they were inducted as well. We're going to move up to 97 now in the hardwood.
What was your angle on that Rodman incident with the photographer? Did you see that?
Well, you know, first of all, it was one of those situations where guys are tumbling into the press. And, you know, Dennis has had that confrontation before in the playoffs last year where there was an incident where he broke a camera by, you know, hitting it with a ball. And I don't know what happened there, but it looked like he kicked the guy. Like he kicked the guy in the knee, and the guy suddenly got, falsetto. And I don't know how it happened, and it was down in his knee, and it ended up in falsetto. But Dennis came back, and I said, Dennis, did you do that on purpose? And he said, he tripped me up on the thing. He said, I kicked him, and I kicked him right above the knee. And I said, well, I'm
sorry. All right, so that is what it looks like as well, that he kicked him in the knee, and then everybody thought it was the groin.
Well, that's what I thought.
Right, exactly. And there's Phil Jackson saying the same thing. Regardless of where the kick landed, it still was wrong, right?
It was intentional.
It was intentional, exactly. Yes. I think he was, I don't even know if Dennis Rodman actually tripped over him. He was falling over before he hit him. I think he was just mad that the camera was in his face.
He failed
to get the rebound because he was a big rebound guy. And when he failed to get the rebound, he was upset. He was upset about every rebound that he couldn't get.
Right. Didn't care about points.
And that was against the Timberwolves. Right. People may not know that. Yes, it was at Target Center.
Yep.
He paid a $200,000 settlement with the cameraman Eugene Amos and was suspended for 11 games without pay.
Wow. That was a costly thing.
It was. This happened in 2009.
Check, it's 1529 over the George Washington Bridge. Wants to go to the airport right now.
Wants to go to our airport. Check. Does he need assistance?
Yes. It was a bird strike. Can I get him in for runway 1?
Runway 1. That's good.
Cactus 1529, turn right 280, you can land runway 1 at Teterboro.
We can't do it.
Okay, which runway would you like at Teterboro?
We're going to be in the Hudson.
I'm sorry, say again, Cactus.
Say it again, come again.
Cactus.
We're going to be in the Hudson, and that's where they landed. It was Sully Sullenberger, Miracle on the Hudson.
Wow.
Bird that strike. It's kind of scary.
Chilling. That's chilling audio right
it's
there.
It's still scary that a flock of birds.
Yes.
I don't know how many birds it would take. Does it take just one bird to take out a jet engine, or does it have to be several?
I can't see one robin taking down an airplane.
No, you wouldn't think so. But just the fact that any birds could.
Right.
2009 is when the miracle on the Hudson happened. On Hogan's Heroes all of a sudden.
Right.
And now 2016, let's remember.
Now that cub took to Adams right off. And that was when he discovered he had a special kind of way with animals. They just come right up to him like he was a natural part of the wilderness. But that bear cub, he was extra special. As he growed, he became the best friend Adams ever had, and together they became a legend.
Yeah, we lost Grizzly Adams on this date. Dan Haggerty, he'll always be Grizzly Adams to me.
Yes.
He died at the age of 74. This was 9 years ago now, from spinal cancer.
And if I was going to be on a TV show, I'd want Denver Pyle to do the intro.
And then he could also say that you growed. Thomas Pace singing, as a kid I always thought this was John Denver, but a man by the name of Thomas Pace. Dan Haggerty, 2016, dead at the age of 74. Let's move on to birthdays now today. One of the SCTV characters.
We asked Mrs. Prickly why her jellies, jams, and preserves have become so popular.
Why? Why do you think? Because I'm in the kitchen all day mashing fruit, that's why. Well, everybody else's kids eat jelly from the store, but not my kids. Homemade jelly. I hope their little teeth rot right out of their little heads.
She always wore the leopard print on SCTV. She was kind of like the station manager, either the station manager, and she wasn't the owner, but like the station manager of the fictional television, SCTV. Yes. Andrea Martin is 73, won a Tony for My Favorite Year, was in a lot of movies. She's from Canada, of course, as I think all those SCTV stars were from, because that was out of Toronto.
Like
So she's 78 here today. Didn't we have the Love Boat theme yesterday?
I think we did.
Yeah, we did.
For sure.
Guess what?
Because it was Jack Jones.
Yes, guess what? We're getting it again today.
Oh, nice.
Exciting and new. Come aboard. We're expecting you.
Neil, one guess. Maybe two guesses. Who's singing the Love Boat theme right here?
Life, sweet everyone.
I know you probably want to say Vicky Carr, right?
Well, I was going to say, I don't know.
That's Chato. That's Chato.
Are you kidding?
That's Chato.
I mean, I know she was on it all the time. Yeah. I was in the back of my mind, but I just didn't hear enough of accent to think it was her.
One of the episodes, she performed it with the Love Boat band.
Love it.
They're in the probably on the Lido deck, I'm assuming. But Charo here today, there's some instances that say she was born in 41. She's claimed she was born in 47, 1949. Back in 1977, she asserted in a court hearing that her passport and naturalization papers, which listed 1941 as her birthday, March 13th, that her birthday was actually today, January 15th, 1951. And why wouldn't you pick the later year, right?
Yes, for sure.
So Charo is either 84 or 74 today. That's quite a range, a 10-year
range.
That is
quite a range.
Not many people can pull off a 10-year range where you're going to be believable.
But there's not many Charos.
And she used to say, what, Neil? Coochie coochie.
Coochie coochie, of course.
She, happy birthday today.
Ooh, baby, I think I love you.
Lisa Lisa of Lisa Lisa Cult Jam. This may or may not be with or without full force. Lisa, Lisa, and Cult Jam. Lisa, Lisa. 58 here today. Dan, Dan Fielding. Lisa, Lisa. Our rapper of the day is Young Dro. Young, not Young Bro, Young Dro.
Dro with a D?
46, yes.
Never heard of that.
And then this is one of your favorite guys I know.
I know you want me. You know I want you.
Bulldog. You
want me. Yeah, it's Bulldog, not Pitbull. You call him Bulldog.
Oh, I mean Pitbull, yeah.
You want me. You know I want you.
Pitbull is 44 today.
He's made a career out of very little talent, as far as I can tell, but that's just my opinion.
Right, sure.
And I give him credit for that.
Right, and you have a great eye for talent, I think that's...
Well, I mean, you can't call him a great singer, I don't think, can
but
you?
It's a peppy song, though.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
You
know,
well, you can't help but dance.
Yeah, that's true, too. Gone, but not forgotten today. Hockey and College Football Hall of Famer. We all think of him for hockey, but mm-hmm. he played both sports, and he was a fighter pilot during WW1, the war to end all wars. We're talking about Hobie Baker. Hobie Baker was the top prize in college hockey. Do you get a vote for that?
I'm not currently on the committee. I think you served like a three-year term.
Yeah.
And I did 3 years on there and was able to vote, and maybe at some point in time I'll be back on. But as of right now, I'm not a voting member of the Hobie Baker Committee.
But that was pretty cool that you got
oh,
to do
that. Oh, it certainly
that.
Was. It certainly
yeah,
was.
It's an honor. And he was born on this day in 1892. Drummer and band leader. Before there was Buddy Rich, there was Gene Krupa.
Drum boogie, drum boogie, the drum boogie boogie. Come on, Krupa, knock yourself out.
Master of percussion, too, Dean.
Oh, yeah.
Other
sure.
instruments. Play the cowbell like nobody better than Will Ferrell even.
And did he actually knock himself out there? Or that was just a figure of speech, I believe.
Well, it does happen, though. Some drummers, yeah, some of the poorer right. drummers do. Yeah, they miss right, and they hit themselves right in the head with the
drumstick.
Yeah,
they get a rebound off the snare, and you got next thing you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's all fun and games till somebody loses an eye. 1909 for Gene Krupa. One of our favorites, certainly Lloyd Bridges, was in for me. I knew him as Mike Nelson from Sea Hunt. Then he was in, of course, Airplane and many, many movies. Lloyd Bridges, 1913.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
So funny how they progressed, because it was quitting smoking, drinking, and then amphetamines, and then... Of course, the granddaddy of them all, sniffing glue. Would you like a Lloyd Bridges? This is now he then later in his career, very late. He was on Seinfeld, so we got bonus Lloyd Bridges.
Okay. Hello, doughboy.
Mr. Mandelbaum, you're the personal trainer?
I'm here to whip you into shape. So grab your jock if you need one. It's go time.
It's go time with Izzy Mandelbaum.
Oh, that's awesome. The great Lloyd Bridges, of course, his sons. Have been fine actors, and he was awesome. 1913. We pay homage to civil rights legend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It is coming up this Monday. It'll be Martin Luther King Day, but his actual birthday was today. The great Martin Luther King Jr. born on this day. The year was 1920.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
That is one of the great words ever spoken, some of the great words ever spoken.
And you just can't deliver them any better than Dr. Martin Luther King. The guy was special, no doubt about it. Born on this day, 1929. He was with the Manhattans, Edward Bivins, 1942.
Love the Manhattans, some big hits.
Yeah. Yes.
Honey, you are my shining star.
This one in Let's Just Kiss and Say Goodnight. Or is it Goodbye? I keep messing those up. It's Goodbye, Goodnight. It's good something. It's maybe Mr. Goodbar.
It's good music.
That's the good part of it right there.
Yeah, the great Edward Bivins there with the Manhattans. He was born again 1942. And, you know, for me, Southern rock fan, you know, I had the Outlaws, which I loved, and Marshall Tucker Band, but Leonard Skinner might be at the top of that list. Ronnie Van Zant from Skinner, 1948.
What's your name, Neil?
Ah, yes. It's pronounced Leonard Skinner. And Ronnie Van Zant was the lead guy. Of course, we lost him in the plane crash in 77 there. He was born on this day, 1948, so yeah, lost him tragically very young. But he was the driving force behind the Leonard Skinner Band. Now his younger brother, Johnny Van Zant, continues and has for decades as their lead voice. But Ronnie was special, 1948. And they're all gone, but not forgotten.
They truly are, Neil. We certainly do appreciate that. Let's give away the tickets here. We have tickets right now. These are the tickets for the fun time out at the Medina Entertainment Center. It's the World According to Garth. The question is, this date in history, 1977, a certain batch of characters, it was a recurring skit on SNL, debuted. What was that skit? The skit had a certain title to it. It was something, the skit. It was a family. It was a skit they did many, many times. In fact, turned it into a movie eventually, Neil.
They did.
As you might be aware of and probably are.
Certain shape to their melon.
Well, now we're getting a little too familiar there. We're really making it easy on them. I don't know. We need to give them benefit of the doubt that they could get this without that kind of a clue.
I bet they could.
763-450-0100, 763-450-0100. This skit debuted SNL 1977. Good luck. World According to Garth. Tickets Medina this Saturday. Neil, are you going to stick around for the Bobathon? There's some question whether or not that you would.
I was kind of hoping that you would be able to engineer that. And if you want to take more than one World According to Garth winner, we do have an extra pair that we didn't give away earlier. Up to you.
I'll see if I can muster enough energy to take more than one, Neil.
Sure.
It does take a certain amount of effort. So Don Williams, listen to the radio. I'll still have you pick, even though you're not going to be doing it, because you are the expert. Sammy Kershaw, Cadillac Style, or George Strait, check yes or no.
I'm going Sammy today.
And away we go.
WQPM Princeton, WLKX Forest Lake, KDDG Albany, KDDG HD1 Albany St. Cloud, KDGY Faribault.